And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the NCAA tournament. This guy does a great job covering the ACC, and he was covering games the last 4 days. He's my good friend Brett Freelander with SaturdayRoad.com. Brett, how you doing today?
Tired.
Why are you tired? Come on.
I'm getting too old for this. Mark, they need to start those games though, like a little bit earlier maybe, or not end so late. I mean, the last one ended, but 12:30
yeah.
Eastern time?
Yes.
Yeah.
It did. Where were you over the last couple of days?
Charlotte. I was with the covering the Tar Heels there. I also got to see Tennessee. I was impressed with both of them, actually.
You wrote a great article this morning, standing up for the ACC, where they've won all their games pretty much. What has this shown you on the court with what the ACC did over the last couple of days?
Well, it shows me that the narrative that has been out there and is perpetrated by the Joe Lenardis and John Rothsteins and Gary Parishes of the world, to name a few, there are more of them, but those are the main perpetrators, that it's just not right. And people need to watch games and use their eyes to determine how good teams and conferences are rather than some numbers that get spit out of a computer and whose formula I think even the people who put the data into the computer know. You know, the whole net rating and the quad system is just really fraudulent. And so I think that the ACC is acquitting itself, and maybe the narrative will change. I don't think it's going to, because I think there's more behind it than just the raw numbers. But you know, the ACC's, I don't know if you remember what DJ Horn from NC State did to the official at the end of the Wake Forest game earlier this season. It was an internet meme. Let's just put it this way. He gave a two-finger salute, one on each hand. The ACC is pretty much doing that to all the naysayers right now.
You look at the bracket that's left, all the one and two seeds are alive. It looks like all these big programs. Is NC State, are they a Cinderella right now in the tournament?
Well, they have to be, because they're a team that was not getting into the tournament if they hadn't gone 5 and 5 days, you know, in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago at the ACC tournament. So, yeah. But again, can a power conference team actually be a Cinderella? I mean, this is a team that started the ACC schedule 5-1 and kind of went into a funk and then kind of found itself again in just the right time. So I don't think that this is like a James Madison or a Yale or one of the or an Oakland had they won and gotten to the Sweet 16. But it also is, you know, a very improbable story.
I rewatched the 30 for 30 on the Jimmy V team. I watched it last week. The minute they won that ACC tournament, I put it on. I love watching it. Are we there yet, or do they need to keep winning basketball games?
We're getting close. Just keep in mind that the only other team to win 5 games in 5 days to win a conference tournament that got them into the NCAA tournament is UConn in 2011, and they ended up winning 6 more in a row, ran the table, and won the national championship with Kemba Walker. So, I mean, is DJ Burns become, you know, this version of Kemba Walker? I don't know, but I mean, it's a great story no matter what happens. But yeah, we still have a ways to go. Keep in mind that 2 weeks ago, Kevin Keats was on the hot seat. I mean, I don't think he was going to get fired, but had they lost to Louisville in that first game of the ACC tournament, they would have had a real hard time justifying keeping him, okay? Since then, he's won the ACC tournament, which triggered an automatic 2-year extension, and won 2 games in the NCAA tournament, getting you the Sweet 16, which triggered another year's extension. So he's added 3 more years to his contract and made about $400,000 a year, you know, in raises and bonuses since the regular season ended.
You live right there in the Triangle. You talk about it all the time. And it's, you know, it's North Carolina fans, Duke fans. What's this like right now for a Wolfpack fan, where they're going on this run?
Well, there's this thing, and I will cleanse it for the family radio station that we're on.
Okay.
There's this phenomenon that the NC State fans like to refer to as hashtag NC State stuff. Okay. Uh-huh. You can use your imagination what word replaces stuff. It does start with S. And it's the self-fulfilling prophecy that whenever something looks like it's too good to be true for NC State, that's when the bad things start to happen. They can't have nice things. I refer you to when their baseball team made it to Omaha for the College World Series, beats Vanderbilt, and is one win away from getting to the championship series, and they got sent home because of COVID. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Well, that is dead. I mean, this is the first conference championship that they have won in 37 years in men's basketball or in football. And they are in all their glory right now. And it's gotten to the point where even North Carolina fans, who are is their bitter enemy, they're happy for them. They're cheering for them. So, yeah, it's an unprecedented time here in the Triangle.
Okay, Clemson is there. I think they're getting lost in the shuffle. But what is this story exactly where they're in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, they are getting lost in the shuffle, aren't they? That's also not a fluke. If you remember, this team was 11-1 and ranked 16th in the country on January the 2nd. Okay, then they started the ACC schedule, and it was front-loaded. They played North Carolina first. They had Duke. They played a lot of tough teams, and they played a lot of road games early, and they went into a losing streak and kind of fell off the radar. Well, they finished strong. They beat the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill late in the season, and they did lose their last two games, but this is a team that's got veteran players. They've got P.J. Hall and Ian Shefflin, who are seniors and juniors playing inside. Yeah, they got Chase Hunter and Joe Girard, who are seniors and graduate students, in the backcourt. It's talented, it's experienced, it's well coached. And, look, and the point of my column today is that they were hardened and toughened by a really difficult ACC, one that people just took for granted. This is a much better conference in the middle and the bottom of the league. And, while people on the outside see Carolina and Duke, and to some extent, Virginia, although they were a mess this year and shouldn't have gotten in. Anything below that, for some reason gets undervalued. It's like if Georgia Tech beats, North Carolina, or if Pittsburgh goes into Cameron Indoor Stadium and beats Duke, the narrative is, oh, look how terrible that conference is. Oh, it's just another example of how much the ACC has fallen. Oh, it's only going to be a two-bid league. But if you have a West Virginia going to Texas and winning, or Central Florida beating Kansas, it's look how strong the Big 12 is. This is proof of how deep and how dynamic that league is. And the narrative is different, but it's really the same. And Clemson, they went through the wars, and they're ready. And now they're playing teams from the outside, teams that haven't scouted them, don't know their tendencies, and you see the result.
What do you think of Duke?
I think when their guards make shots and Kyle Filipowski stays out of foul trouble, they can beat anybody. And you saw that yesterday against James Madison, which is, downplay them all you like because they're from the CAA or whatever conference. I think that's the CAA or the Southern Conference, whatever the conference they're in. But you can downplay them because it's James Madison and not Michigan State. But that is a really good team. They boat raced Wisconsin. And Duke hit them right in the mouth right to the first 5 minutes of the game, and James Madison never recovered. Duke's got matchup problems when you play teams with dominant big guys. They go against Purdue, they're going to have trouble with Zach Edey. Of course, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But the thing they can offset that by playing really aggressive defense on the perimeter, creating turnovers that turn into fast break opportunities, making three-pointers, and that's what they did yesterday. And if they continue to do that, there's nobody in the country that has more talent than them. But the question is, can they do it on a consistent basis? Because that was their problem this year. They had times where their guards, I give you the NC State game in the ACC tournament, their guards couldn't throw it in the ocean from the beach. And, you know, they're going to get beat in games like that, especially when they can't defend the rim. And you know, DJ Burns had a field day that day.
That Purdue center, is he 7'6"? How tall is he?
I think he's 7'4".
He is a monster out there.
What difference does 2 inches make in that particular case? Right?
I don't know. He
is a problem. It's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. All right, back to Carolina.
He is a problem, Mark, but teams that have beaten Purdue, both in the NCAA tournament in previous years, and I give you Fairleigh Dickinson last year, and Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament, if you pressure their guards, who are not that good, if you pressure their guards, they can't get the ball into him. And so that's the way to beat him. Just keep it away from him.
Okay, back to Carolina here with Brett Freelander. They've been hyped all season, and they're in the Sweet 16. Are they good enough to win the national title now?
Yes, and they're good enough to win the national title now because they have evolved from where they were even, you know, in mid-February. Hubert Davis has grown exponentially as a coach over the last 3 years, and the biggest thing about Carolina right now, you know what you're going to get from Armando Bacot, and you know what you're going to get from R.J. Davis, but they have developed a supporting cast in different roles, and they've really developed a bench. I thought the two most impactful players for Carolina this weekend in the first two games were Jalen Withers and Seth Trimble, and it's because of their efforts on the glass and on the defensive end. When Elliot Cadeau, who's a small guard at about 6 foot, when he's struggling, especially trying to guard somebody, they bring in Trimble, who is 6'5", is long, and can just get off his feet. I mean, he had two really key blocks against Michigan State. And they're a totally different team, especially on the defensive end. And they went on that run where they held Michigan State to one field goal over the last 8 minutes of the first half and broke that game open. And then you have, you know, if you want to face guard R.J. Davis and keep him from beating you, well, Harrison Ingram or Cormac Ryan will do it. So there are a lot of ways that they can beat you. They're a very talented offensive team. But I think where they've gotten much better is defensively, and that, I think, makes them an elite.
Okay, so where are you heading next, buddy?
I'm going to Dallas. Originally, I was going to L.A. with the Tar Heels, but when Duke and NC State both got there, the old two-for-one was just too much to pass up. And to be honest with you, NC State is the story right now. It'll probably end up being Carolina, especially when we have that much-anticipated battle between R.J. Davis and Caleb Love, potentially in the Elite Eight. But until this crazy run ends, NC State is the team that everybody's talking about.
Are they playing at the Mavericks Arena?
Whatever the American Airlines Arena is, I would say yes. I'm not familiar with the Dallas area, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that is. It's the Mavericks. Yeah, I always get confused. Like, when do we go to the football stadiums? That's the Final Four. Oh, okay.
No, that's the Final Four, yeah.
That's what it is.
All I know is the Rangers play the Cubs at home that week, so I'm going to see if I can sneak away and get to a game.
Oh, that'd be cool, dude, if you get to do that. What are your thoughts, then? We really don't have Cinderellas. I can't stress this enough. It's very weird to see. There's no, you know, even last year we had FAU make the Final Four. Like, is that good for this tournament where it's all these big teams?
Yes. This is the best case scenario because last year the ratings were terrible. It was just the games weren't really that competitive in Final Four. And you know, it just wasn't the interest there usually is. This tournament, what you got Cinderella. You know, you got Oakland taking down Kentucky. You got Yale taking down Auburn. You know, you got the upsets that everybody, you know, James Madison taking down Wisconsin. And yet now you move to the second week, and now it's basically chalk. Now you have the brand names, you have the best teams. And so I think you got the fun first couple of days, and then now you get to the serious part of the tournament. So I think you kind of get a little of both. And I think that's good. And by the way, if they try to mess with this tournament and add teams and try to, you know, squeeze more juice out of the lemon, they're only going to ruin it. I mean, look at what we've had here over the last, what, 4 or 5 days. Why would you mess with this?
I don't like the first four games, and I don't take them seriously.
I don't either. Because, I mean, first of all, I don't like the fact that the Gramblings and the South Dakota State, who, you know, they have to not only win their conference tournament, they earned this. You know, if you want to have this, have the last eight teams, at-large teams, get in. You know, the teams that really have zero chance of going more than a round or two anyway. Let them go in. I mean, Virginia had no business being there. I think Pittsburgh should have gotten that bid, and if it would have, might still be playing. Might be five ACC teams in the Sweet 16. But those are the teams that should be playing if you're going to do that crap.
We're here with Brett Freelander. Is UConn the favorite?
Yes. They're the defending champion. They have looked extremely strong. Yale did them a big favor, I think, by taking out the one team, I think, that really had a chance to challenge them, although Illinois is playing very well, and Terrence Simmons Jr. is lighting it up. I think he's got 56 points in two games. That might be a fun region final, Illinois and UConn, if Illinois beats Iowa State. But I do believe that that it's not a foregone conclusion. You look at what happened during the regular season, anybody can beat anybody, and if the best teams are there, then that's going to make it pretty competitive. I think UConn is the team to beat, but I don't think the margin is that huge over Carolina, Purdue, Houston, Duke, you know, Illinois. So we shall see.
Do you believe in Houston, where they barely won last night?
I think Houston has, you know, yeah, I think Houston's got a lot of talent and can win it all, but I also think that they're pretty vulnerable. Again, I think Duke matches up incredibly well with them because I think Duke's guards are just as good as Cryer and Sheed, and Filipowski and Mark Mitchell are the X factor that Houston doesn't have. I think Duke can take them down. But if they play defense the way they usually play defense, not like they did yesterday, then they're tough to beat. Yeah, they're really good, but you know, they're a little bit more tested this year too than they were when they were in the American Athletic Conference.
Yes.
They did go through the Big 12 this year, so I'm not sold on them, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do pull it off. And I like Kelvin Sampson too. I've known him since, you know, he was at Washington State. He's a North Carolina guy, and you know, it would be nice to see him the title that he's come close to in the past, but I don't think that they're the favorite going into this, even though I think they're, what, the number two overall seed?
Yeah. All right, two more, and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. We're here with Brett Freelander, SaturdayRoad.com. What would you do if you're Kentucky with that $30 million guaranteed to Calipari?
I'd keep him. I mean, who are you going to get that's better? And if Calipari is going to get fired for doing what he's done, who would want that job? Although, you know, $33 million buyout is, you know, Hey, I'm going to go, and if I don't do great, fire me. Go ahead. I'll go buy an island somewhere in the Caribbean. I think it's ludicrous. I think that Calipari does need to take a really good look at the way he does things and adjust. Because I think the whole one-and-done thing that he really kind of has built his success on is not going to work anymore now that you've got older players sticking around for 4 and 5 years because of NIL. He's going to have to use the transfer portal, and he's going to have to, you know, get his teams older because, you know, they're talented enough, and all those guys are going to play in the league. But when you play older teams like they did with Oakland, freshmen are still freshmen, and men against boys – the men usually win. So I think that Calipari stays, but I think that he needs to, and Tony Bennett is in a similar situation for different reasons. They need to examine the way they do things and make some adjustments.
Yeah, you have to score the basketball if you're Virginia, okay? It's very simple.
Yeah.
Can't run 1930s.
The problem with Virginia is that the system that they play with the pack line defense, it takes a couple of years to really get well versed in that thing enough to be able to play it and not think about it and be a step behind. And guys don't stay around for 4 or 5 years. You don't get second and third and fourth year players anymore because they, you know, if they don't play right away, they leave on the transfer portal. And then, you know, when you go out on the transfer portal and you try to get a veteran player who could put the ball in the basket, and you tell them, hey, son, I want you to come play this system where we're going to play at a snail's pace, and your shot totals are going to go down, your scoring averages are going to go down, but you know it's going to be a lot of fun. They're not going to come, and so they've got to start playing a more up to date system because otherwise they're not going to get the players to be able to, like you said, score the basketball enough to win games in March.
Okay, I have to ask you this. So you were on a couple weeks ago, and we were bringing up that story from years ago where someone fell on your laptop at a Duke game. What?
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, and then I swear, I look on Twitter, there's some crazy video at a tournament game, and then you're running in the video. What happened exactly?
Okay, it was the North Carolina Duke game at Cameron Indoor Stadium where these crazy things always happen.
Okay.
The Tar Heels won. And I thought coming, and I was the second person from the end on my row there at courtside. So I grabbed my computer, and I got up, and I tried to get out before the Tar Heels came over to start taunting the Cameron Crazies. And the guy in front of me stopped. And the Cameron Crazies started throwing water and ice and anything they could at the Tar Heels, and I got caught in the crossfire. So that's what was all about.
It's the most in-the-moment realistic video of you. There's no, you're not, like, there's no, like, oh, he's acting, he's playing it up. No, there's this real anger on your face. It's phenomenal. It really is.
It wasn't necessarily anger as it was getting hit in the back of the head with some ice, and it was cold, and it was wet. It wasn't fun.
Is that one of the coolest, things to cover, to be at that game?
Yes. And again, you have to be aware of your surroundings because it is a zoo in there. It is like nothing you could ever imagine.
That's awesome. SaturdayRoad.com is the website. This guy's going to be covering the tournament moving forward. He's my good friend, Brett Freelander. Brett, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Hey, anytime, Mark.